I'll be reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6 from the New American Standard Bible. Woe to the shepherds who are causing the sheep of my pasture to perish and are scattering them, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not been concerned about them. Behold, I am going to call you to account for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So if we ponder what is a good shepherd, attributes that we might apply to a good shepherd would be bravery, commitment, love, creativity, problem solving. If you're in charge of animals, you have to be a problem solver. I bet you guys have to problem solve pretty often, right? Figure out how to keep them little guys in or how to get them back home. Strength is a good attribute. Now, we would probably assign these same attributes to a good leader. And it's funny because a leader and a shepherd seem very different, but they're not. So we think about the perspective of a leader and then think about who it is that they're in charge of caring for. I think that there's one virtue of the people being cared for that we would all agree is probably the most important thing for us to have in a leader. Would that be trust? Can you imagine that that's what we would all have in common? Trust is a hard thing to gain. I just did a service for someone not long ago, and I don't even remember who it was. I just kept hearing this in my head this week, that I remember this family member saying that their loved one taught them to be trustworthy. Because trust is so hard to get, easy to lose, and almost impossible to get back. Well, I was sitting with the text this week, literally sitting at my little table, and I had opened the gate in our house. We have a little portion of our living area that is gated off, and the five weenie dogs, well, four of them, kind of hang out over in there because they play really rough with Maisie. And so usually they're in one side or the other, but this time I had opened the gate, and I don't often do that when I'm writing because they're very distracting. Five little weenie dogs running around, sniffling and barking at everything. They're way too much help. So what they do when they're given all their freedom is they go sniff everything. They try and figure out where the cat is. They complain about a couple of things. They try and dig a couple of holes in the couch. And then they come and lay down wherever I'm at. That's what they do. Your feet don't get cold when they're all five running around. Well, Gemma is our six-year-old. She was born during COVID, and I remember you, Sammy, telling me a while back that Gemma was the spoiled one. Back before Maisie came along, Gemma was always the spoiled one, wasn't she? And she's the vocal one, too. And so when I was thinking about the sheep and the shepherd and how their relationship worked, I was sitting there in my workspace, and Gemma came over and put her paws up on the edge of the bench I was sitting on. And she's the one of our dachshunds that doesn't have brown eyes. All of them have brown eyes except hers. Hers are hazel. And she has a very soft neck. She's red, kind of, but like cinnamon colored. And her ears are like silvery shiny. They're just very, she's very unique. And she looked at me with her great big eyes. And if you've never looked in Maisie's eyes, they're really good at sad eyes. And I thought about how much she trusts me. She trusts me to keep her warm and dry. She counts on me having a pillow for her to lay on. And they like for me to have blankets for them to tunnel in, because dachshunds are, after all, tunneling dogs made to chase badgers. She counts on me every evening at 5 p.m. setting a bowl of food in front of her so she can gobble it down in 25 seconds. And since the time has changed, her reminders are a little earlier. They start at about 3 or 3:30, and like I said, she's the vocal one, so she makes this horrible sound at me for about an hour and a half and does not have a snooze button. Well, she rested her paws there and stared up into my eyes, and I was patting her. I looked in her mouth, and I was like, oh gosh, you need to go visit the doggy dentist and have your teeth cleaned. And I thought about that trust and the shepherd and the sheep, and I thought, you know, she's not going to understand me taking her to the vet and dropping her off. She's probably going to wonder why I let them poke her, why I let them work on her teeth. But not taking care of her health would also be breaking that bond of trust between her and I. But now, if Gemma was being loud and I couldn't get her to quiet down and I raised my hand and swatted her, she would probably forgive me, because dogs are good about that. But the next time she saw me raise my hand, she might not trust me anymore. She would probably trust herself, and she would think that I might do her harm. And to think about those big eyes losing their trust in me and doing harm makes me really sad. Well, when the role of king was initially established back in our Old Testament, the children of the time were in the habit of wandering off the path, because we do that. We go and we just go do our own thing, and we get in trouble here and there. And the people were self-aware, and they knew they had a tendency to do that. So they asked God for a leader. They said, we need someone who will understand how to navigate the world, how to keep us out of trouble, how to help us stay healthy, how to divvy up our resources, keep us safe, fed, and comfortable. Well, in the beginning, God warned the folks that you're not going to like that much authority. Does everybody here like a lot of authority? At one time or another, we probably all rebelled against authority, haven't we? But the people persisted that they wanted it. So God set into motion a system. First there were the judges, and then the kings. Well, God had warned them that this would not be something they would enjoy, and also it was a big thing to be in that much leadership. I mean, not let the power become a problem. It was to these people that they wrote, will you pick up here at verse 23?
Woe to the shepherds who are causing the sheep in my pasture to perish and are scattering them. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not been concerned about them. And then into this world of failed leaders, broken trust, and scattered sheep. God speaks beautiful promises. I myself will gather my flock. I will raise up a righteous branch. He will reign as king, the Lord our righteousness. A shepherd who will not scatter, a king who will not exploit, a leader who will not betray trust. God promises a shepherd king we can finally trust. Not just trust, one we can believe in.
In Jeremiah, we hear God's prophetic words and our hearts see the images of Christ. Don't you hear that when we read about Jeremiah, when I was reading that he would raise up a righteous branch? Don't we all see the image of Christ? What we wouldn't give to rest our hands on the side of his throne, look into Christ's loving eyes, and put all of our trust and faith in him, as he put his love and saving grace into us. Today, in our liturgical year, is known as Christ the King Sunday. That's why I have the crown here, which, if you look at it, it's thorns on this side and gold on the other side. The king has kind of become a word that we distrust ourselves. They just celebrated No King's Day not long ago because we don't trust leadership. But Christ is our king. They've even started referring to this day in the church as the reign of Christ Sunday, because the word king is so hard for us. But because Christ is our king, we know that he is our I am. So I wanted to take time to consider where we put our trust and ask you a question that I ask almost every Sunday, but do so in a more thorough way. So later I will ask you what you believe. Today the title of the sermon is I Believe. I named it that for two reasons. Because today is not just the Sunday before Thanksgiving and not just the Sunday before Advent begins. Today we celebrate the one who reigns. I think it is most fitting that we lift our voices to God, giving thanks for Christ. So as we gather around our turkeys this week and ask one another, what are you thankful for? I hope the first thing on our list will be my salvation in Christ. The second reason that I name the sermon, I Believe, is because we make that proclamation every time we recite together the Apostles' Creed. But do we think about the words every time we recite them? Today, on Reign of Christ Sunday, or Christ the King Sunday, that kicks off the season of busyness and so many things that draw us into commercialism, I wanted to reflect about what we proclaim. And so here we go. When we read the words of the Apostles' Creed, we aren't simply meant to repeat the words on the screen, not simply meant to know them because we memorized them in Sunday school. When we say the creed together, I ask, what do you believe?
So the first step is a Christ follower. So what is the first step as a Christ follower? The first step to be a follower of Christ.
To believe.
To believe. Yes. So I believe. I believe. Does it occur to you whenever we recite the creed that you actually are reaffirming our faith and trust in Christ? What a gift that is for us.
After the two words, I believe, we walk through the things that brought us to such a bold proclamation. We say together that we know that God has kept his promises that he made in those Old Testament scriptures. God has gathered the remnant of his scattered flocks. We announce that we know that Jesus is the good shepherd that was raised for us so that we don't have to be afraid any longer, that none of us will be missing because Christ will find every one. We proclaim that the shepherd Jeremiah spoke about came to us in Jesus. Our Apostles' Creed is not just a series of ancient words. It's not dusty old ideas. It is a connection, something to keep us grounded in the most important truths so that we do not wander off of the path. When we say, I believe, we are not just claiming theology. We're making it personal, proclaiming a leader who has never broken the trust of his people. So let's think about the words of the creed and what it means today, beginning with the words, I believe.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Before we believe anything else, we believe God is our Father, our source of life, not a distant force. Our Creator didn't weave us together in order to rule us with fear. Instead, God offers us protection, provision, and love. Like Gemma's story in our dachshund group, they trust us for warmth, shelter, and food. And we trust in God for life and all the good things in it. This is something to be thankful for. God is good, and God is trustworthy.
The maker of heaven and earth, every good thing in life flows from that truth. Every blessing around our Thanksgiving tables, every person, every story we share, every gift comes from the very same hands that created the entire world. Creation is God's generosity in visible form.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Jeremiah's vision comes flesh here, the righteous branch, the true king, the shepherd that we can trust. Jesus is the leader we always needed, the one our human kings failed to be. He doesn't rule with greed, threat, or fear. He leads with compassion, wisdom, justice, and sacrifice. When you want to know what God looks like, well, God looks like a shepherd. We call him Jesus. Above every blessing we list in November, this is what we should be most thankful for. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is good. Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus is love.
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. The shepherd did not stay far away from us. He stepped into our very own fields and entered our world, a man of flesh and bones, with a heart that broke with ours and hands that healed. God walked with us not in theory, but in real, visible, side-by-side life.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified. This part of what we proclaim is where we find the heart of our trust. Jesus suffers with you. Jesus suffers for you. We do not have to wonder if God knows what it is like to hurt the way we do, if God could ever relate to the troubles we endure, or how hard it is to live in this world. God did it and was mistreated unfairly, painfully. And yet, he did endure it fully to the end. He really could have called 10,000 angels, destroyed the world, and he would have been fine. But he didn't. He stayed. He died. And he still gives us the gift of knowing there is life beyond. A shepherd who runs away cannot be trusted, but a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, that shepherd earns trust forever.
On the third day, he rose again, because sin never won and death does not win. The shepherd lives, the king reigns, and our hope is real. In the New Testament, Paul declares that everyone who calls upon the shepherd king will be saved, and that means everyone, everywhere.
He ascended. He will come again. Jesus is our leader now. His reign is meant to last forever. When the time is right, Jesus will return to once more to each of us. On that beautiful day, there will never be a tear again. No fear, no worry, no pain, no death, no sin, or any other of the hard things that we endure in this life.
And then a beautiful thing happens in this point of the creed. It shifts from what God is doing for us and into what God is doing through us. Because here we proclaim, I believe in the Holy Spirit. We are not left to follow the shepherd alone, because the Spirit guides, comforts, strengthens, and also calls us to join in God's work on earth.
The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, we belong to a global flock. We like to remind people that when we say Catholic in our creed, it's with a small letter C, not a capital one, because we aren't pledging to any denomination. We are claiming our belief in the part of God's kingdom, the universal one. The word Catholic means universal or united. We follow a shepherd who has sheep in every corner of the world. We're connected far beyond the walls of this church. This is something to be thankful for. God gives us connections.
The forgiveness of sins, because nothing, nothing makes us more grateful than knowing our shepherd never walks away even when we are broken. He forgives, he restores, and he makes us whole.
The resurrection of the body, the life, everlasting. This shepherd does not just protect in this life, he leads us home. Thanksgiving dinner may feel like a feast, but one day we're headed to a bigger table. A forever table in the kingdom of God.
So when we gather this week and name the things that we are thankful for, food, family, shelter. This morning at Rachel, we were thankful for indoor plumbing because it's cold. For seasons and pets and health. These are good gifts. But the greatest gift and the deepest gratitude we have, the anchor of this blessing, is that we have a shepherd we can trust. A king who is righteous. A Savior who is faithful, a leader who will not scatter us, rather will gather us. And because of him, every good thing is a gift of his grace. The prophet, like Jeremiah, announced him. The creed proclaims him. The church shares him. And today we declare.
Friends, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for gathering us here, part of your flock, and empowering us to proclaim that we not just trust you, Lord, we believe. Lord, that is the first step, and we pray that every time we say the creed together, we reaffirm for ourselves that indeed we do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being faithful to us. Thank you, Lord, for empowering us. Thank you for this beautiful world and for all of the many things that we will be thoughtful of this week. In your name we pray. Amen.